Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And now Chapter 6, The Residence of the Spiritual Sky. From Canto 6, Chapter 1, Texts 32 through 36 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukdeva Goswami continued, when the order carriers of Yamaraj, the son of the sun god, were thus forbidden, they replied, who are you, sirs, that have the audacity to challenge the jurisdiction of Yamaraj? Whose servants are you? Where have you come from? And why are you forbidding us to touch the body of Ajamil? Are you demigods from the heavenly planets? Are you sub-demigods? Or are you the best of devotees? Your eyes are just like the petals of lotus flowers. Dressed in yellow silken garments, decorated with garlands of lotuses, and wearing very attractive helmets on your heads and earrings on your ears, you all appear fresh and youthful. Your four long arms are decorated with bows and quivers of arrows, and with swords, clubs, conch shells, discs, and lotus flowers. Your effulgence has dissipated the darkness here with extraordinary illumination. Now, sirs, why are you obstructing us? Purport. The sins Ajamil had committed placed him within the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the supreme judge appointed to consider the sins of the living entities. When forbidden to touch Ajamil, the order carriers of Yamaraj were surprised, because within all the three worlds, no one had ever before hindered them in the execution of their duty. The Vishnu Dutas were coming from Vaikuntha, and they appeared extraordinary, each with four arms. The servants of Yamaraj immediately received them with respect. They had no idea which planet the Vishnu Dutas had come from, so they simply suggested, you must have come from a very exalted planet, but why are you interfering with our business? We are Yamadutas. It is our duty to arrest every sinful man, and Ajamil has committed misdeeds throughout his life. Now, at the end of his life, we are authorized to take him to Yamaraj, the son of Vivasvan, the sun god. So why are you preventing us? The most significant word used in verse 32 is Siddha Satama, which means the best of the perfect. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 3, it is said, Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yatati Siddhaye. Out of millions of persons, one may try to become Siddha, perfect, or in other words, self-realized. A self-realized person knows that he is not the body, but a spiritual soul, aham brahmasmi. At present, almost no one is aware of this fact, but one who understands this has attained perfection and is therefore called Siddha. When one understands that the soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, and one thus engages in the devotional service of the Supreme Soul, one becomes Siddha Satama. One is then eligible to live in Vaikuntha or Krishna Loka. The word Siddha Satama, therefore, refers to a pure devotee of the Lord. Since the Yamadutas are servants of Yamaraj, who is also one of the Siddha Satamas, they knew that a Siddha Satama is above the demigods and sub-demigods, and, indeed, above all the living entities within this material world. The Yamadutas therefore inquired why the Vishnu Dutas were preventing them from carrying out the orders of such an exalted soul as Yamaraj. It should also be noted that Ajamil was not yet dead, for the Yamadutas had been stopped before they could snatch the soul from his heart. Ajamil was simply on the verge of death as the argument progressed between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. The conclusion of that argument was to be a decision regarding who would claim the soul of Ajamil. The Vishnudutas exactly resembled Lord Vishnu. The Yamadutas had never seen them before, because the Yamadutas stay in an atmosphere where only sinful activities are executed. Therefore, they were astonished at the presence of these beautiful personalities, and said, "By your bodily features you appear to be very exalted gentlemen, and you have such celestial power that you have dissipated the darkness of this material world with your effulgence. Why then should you endeavor to stop us from executing our duty?" It will be explained that the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraj, mistakenly considered Ajamil sinful. They did not know that although he was sinful throughout his entire life, he was purified by constantly chanting the holy name of Narayan. The Vishnudutas were so effulgent because they were residents of the spiritual world, where everyone and everything is self-effulgent. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 6, Natad Vasayate Suryo Na Shashanko Na Pavaka, which means, quote, "My abode is not illuminated by the sun, the moon, fire, or electricity." Unquote. The Yamadutas did not know where the Vishnudutas had come from, but they could see that the Vishnudutas were not ordinary, since they were so effulgent, they had four arms, and they were extremely beautiful. The dress and bodily features of the residents of Vaikuntha are accurately described in these verses. The residents of Vaikuntha, who are decorated with garlands and yellow silken garments, have four arms holding a disc, flower, club, and conch shell. Thus they exactly resemble Lord Vishnu, except for one very prominent feature, the Kaustubha jewel which the Lord wears on his chest. The residents of Vaikuntha have the same bodily features as Narayan, because they have attained the liberation of Sarupya, but they nevertheless act as servants. All the residents of Vaikuntha Loka know perfectly well that their master is Narayan or Krishna, and that they are all his servants. They are all self-realized souls who are Nitya Mukta, everlastingly liberated. Although they could conceivably declare themselves Narayan, they never do so. They always remain Krishna conscious and serve the Lord faithfully. Such is the atmosphere of Vaikuntha Loka. Similarly, one who learns the faithful service of Lord Krishna through the Krishna consciousness movement will always remain in Vaikuntha Loka and have nothing to do with the material world. In our conditioned state, we cannot know about the spiritual world. But the spiritual world exists. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 20, Parastasmatu Bhavo Nyo, which means, quote, "Besides this inferior material nature, there is another superior nature." Unquote. This material nature is one nature, comprised of millions and trillions of universes clustered together in one corner of the spiritual sky. We cannot even measure the sky covered by this one universe, within which there are innumerable planets. Yet there are millions and trillions of universes in the entire material creation. And the entire material creation is only 1/4 of existence. In other words, this whole material world is existing in 1/4 of Krishna's energy. The other 3/4 comprise the spiritual sky. Unfortunate persons think that this planet is all in all, but this is frog philosophy. A frog in a well cannot understand anything beyond the well, and he measures everything in terms of his well. When he is told about the ocean, he cannot imagine it. Similarly, persons with such a frog's mentality imagine, God is like this, or God's kingdom is like that, or I am God, or there is no God. But this is all foolishness.